This Thursday, the Foray Centre for Contemporary Asian Art will open Temporary Certainty. This exhibition delves into the complexities intervention into the greater Asia region and the resulting historical change. Temporary Certainty presents newly commissioned works by artists Rushdie Anwar, Alana Hunt and Saka Protik, all of which are signified by their creation within conditions of uneasy reconciliation. This morning we are joined by artist Alana Hunt, who will help us unpack her work, Faith in a Pile of Stones. This work unpacks environmental, technological and economic intervention of white Australia. Good morning, Alana.
Hi, Sophie. Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. A lot to unpack right there.
Yeah, I guess Faith in a Pile of Stones has begun, I think, from a place of wanting to sort of unsettle the certainty of white Australia's settlement. And the town that I live in, Kununurra, was built in conjunction with this dam wall, which created a dam that's now 20 times the size of Sydney Harbour. So that was built to kind of shift the economy from cattle to agriculture, or the reliance of predominantly cattle to agriculture, where I live. And it's kind of this big dream of agricultural development in the north, another step towards colonisation of that place, and it never really reached its peak. But it's a place that people come to and see, like, they appreciate the beauty of the place, but there's a really dark kind of violent history that underlies it.
Mm.
And so when I look at that dam wall, it's literally made out of thousands of stones that have been blasted from a hillside there in what was like the largest non-nuclear explosion in Australian history.
Whoa.
And they're like these giant stones just balancing on top of each other in this big wall that holds like a mass amount of water. And I just see that wall crumbling, you know? And sure, it's lasted almost 50 years, but when you think about 500 years, 5,000 years, when you start thinking about the scale of deep time, you kind of see that wall as something fragile, not as permanent as we kind of think it to be. And although the town of Kununurra was built because of that dam, when that dam breaks, it will also be destroyed and flooded, swamped by that very same dam. So I kind of see that as a metaphor for Australia as well. Yeah.
Interesting week for Australia, I must say. It's in the East Kimberley. For people in Sydney, what is that area look like?
Well, I think it's savannah. It's sort of a midway between the tropics and desert. So we get massive wet seasons, and then we get like 6 months of the year or 9 months of the year that are completely dry with no rain.
Wow.
So during the winter, then over the summer, we get like a monsoon. So it's quite dramatic environmentally. There's a lot of change. It goes from kind of brown, red dust to like a million shades of green every year. And I think that was something too, that when it was kind of invaded and settled by Europeans kind of in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there was that desire to kind of try and hold on to that mass of water that came every year and then disappeared. So that's something that fed into the dam there. But it's also like the town I live in Kununurra has, you know, like everywhere in Australia, it's got a really difficult and violent history, recent history, and that permeates the present as well in pretty strong ways.
And when you say that, are you talking about the mass incarceration of Indigenous peoples there, or?
Yeah, like that's a reality. There's like a lot of, even things like a glance can be violent, a glance walking down the street. And I think there's a lot of racial and class divisions where I live. And I think about that a lot, and yeah.
So how do you try to deconstruct that in this work in particular?
One aspect of the work was that there's an amazing, Kununurra has a historical society and a small museum, and they've got an amazing collection of archival images that I was looking through. So I was looking through those images and drawing a lot of inspiration from them, and I wanted to incorporate some of them into the installation here. Unfortunately, from two different sources, when I requested use of the images, I was told I wasn't allowed to use them. And one component of that was on the basis that I would create a myth out of the history. And for me, it wasn't so much about creating myths out of history. It was differing accounts of history that I'm interested in. And I think there was a hesitation about, you know, hopefully the de-glorification of the European settlement of that place that my work is working with, rather than the glorification of it. And so I was a bit stumped when I couldn't use the images, but then I realized that I could just reshoot them. So we reshot some of the archival images, and I got a friend to pose in them, and a lot of the landscape and environment hasn't changed that much. So I think kind of that's one way that kind of reworking the historical archive is one thing that, yeah.
There seems to be a sense of fragility as well, of people just like, nah, you can't break that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's it exactly. Fragility is something that I've thought about right from the start in this, you know, our faith, like Australia's faith, Kununurra's faith, that this pile of stones here will not fall down and the town will not be drowned and swamped. And so there is a fragility there, but that also extends to kind of hesitations over controlling history and what's recorded and what's not. There's a big fragility there, I think.
Is it also the sense of trying to control nature, considering the extremities that exist in the East Kimberley?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's definitely an attempt to control nature and manage nature. So the way before the dam was built, the water would run through a river and out to the ocean, you know, and now it's held and it's maintained and it's released at a steady rate throughout the year, and it's spread through agricultural crops and goes down a river that now is, you know, at a relatively stable height, whereas in the past it would have gone down to a trickle or dried up during the dry season and then built up again during the wet. So there's that, I think, trying to manage people, trying to manage the environment, trying to manage society are all things that nations, governments spend their time doing.
So this exhibition also has works by Rushdie Anwar and Saka Protik. How did you find your work fitting in with theirs?
It's actually been really exciting. I did my master's in India and I was there for 3 years, and I think my understanding of the world generally, but specifically of nations and colonization and history and contemporary politics and stuff was really influenced by my time there, and particularly my engagement with Kashmir. I've always, when I moved back from India, I moved up to the Kimberley in 2011, and I always felt resonances between there and South Asia, particularly through the history and kind of contemporary realities. So what's quite exciting about this exhibition is that it places the north of Australia, which we don't often hear about in the rest of Australia, in conversation with a wider Asian political and social context and artistic expression. That's also connected, I think, to like a lot of the drive to develop and kind of the north of Australia is driven also by like an underlying sense that it will be invaded by Asia if we don't. And so there's a video that I have in the work that kind of draws on historical archives that reference that.
The good old swamp.
Yeah, so, you know, Australia is not isolated from Asia. Like, we are a part of it.
Yeah.
And so talking about the North in this context is really good.
Yeah. You also have a project in the works called The Borderline. Does that kind of explore this concept further?
Yeah, the borderline is something that has emerged from a few places. One is definitely my engagement with borders through my work in Kashmir as well, and then wanting to bring that and create a community around that where I live in Kununurra. So my in-laws country, traditional country, my mother-in-law is Mirrawong, and her country extends on both sides of the WANT border. And so that border, you know, as banal as borders can be in Australia, at least our state borders, has actually had a large impact on her ability to assert rights over her traditional country, because the different state governments have different laws around that. So there's constant kind of bureaucracy that you're negotiating there. So the borderline was a way to engage collaboratively with other people around all ideas relating to the border and create connections between where I live locally and the Asia Pacific as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Alana, thank you so much for joining us here today on It 2SER, but we can't wait to see the work unfold on Thursday.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
No worries. We've been speaking with Alana Hunt all about temporary certainty. The exhibition opens this Thursday at the Foray Centre for Contemporary Asian Art in Sydney's Chinatown. There's also a series of panel discussions, and we'll put all those details up on our show page, So Hot Right Now, on It 2SER.